Alistair Campbell was once hailed across the room by President Bush as the big guy. For 9 years, this former newspaper reporter was Tony Blair's closest advisor and probably the most controversial man in British politics, at least until George Galloway licked cream from Rulalinska's arm on Celebrity Big Brother. He was famed and feared for his ability to spin a story and was considered a founding force in the 10 years of new Labour rule that transformed Britain. This man, who was once famous for headbutting cigarette machines, was put into rooms where people had the power to push the nuclear button. And all of those years, he kept copious notes on Bill Clinton's shoe size, glossy manicure, and reluctance to commit the U.S. in Kosovo, Jacques Chirac reading small talk from his cue cards, and the strains on his own family life. The Blair Years, the Alistair Campbell Diaries, has just been published in the United States, and Alistair Campbell joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And I will stipulate, for those of us who follow British politics, this is just an absolute candy box of anecdotes about famous people in Parliament and British politicians, a lot of which we will necessarily not take up in an interview for an American audience. But it does raise this question. Committing that in print, you must worry about that.
No, I don't, in a funny sort of way, because I think what I've tried to do with the book is actually show that if you present people like Tony Blair, people in top flight politics, as they are, warts and all, that actually they've got nothing to fear from that. Mm. And I've been really pleased by the way the book has gone in Britain. It's created an awful lot of coverage and a lot of debate, but people, I think, sense from it that this is a sympathetic portrayal of politics. Mm-hmm. So all of the people who weave in and out of it, I don't think they come out of it. Some come out of it badly, but, you know, that's probably because, in my view, they deserve to. Mm-hmm. But actually, an awful lot don't.
You can be withering about the press.
I can, and I am. But not all of them. I mean, I think there are some very, very good journalists. And I think that what's happened, though, is that I was a tabloid journalist. Mm-hmm. But I was a tabloid journalist at a time when you kind of knew where you were. You had the tabloids, you had the broadsheets, and you had the broadcasters. They did very different things. The advent of the 24/7 media age means that the barriers between them are pretty much broken down, certainly in our country. And there's a culture of negativity about politics and public life that is just very difficult to deal with. Politicians are subject to a hugely negative prism.
You sort of segue into talking about the Princess of Wales. And I want to get you to read a section.
Oh, my God.
As a matter of fact. Mr. Campbell, I have to note, you've got your hand covering your face. Could I? By the way, to spare you, no, actually, to maximize your embarrassment, not to spare you anything, yeah. I've thoughtfully outlined the section. All right, we should explain. Tony and Sherry Blair are having dinner, and you come to say, knock on the door and say, tell Mr. Blair that his car is waiting. Mm-hmm. And if I could get you to read.
Why are you doing this to me? This is cruel. I went back to the car.
Makes our week.
And yeah. The next thing, TB is tapping at the car window and he says, someone wants to meet you. I get out and she's walking towards me and she says, there he is. Can I come over and say hello? And she's standing there, absolutely, spellbindingly, drop-dead gorgeous in a way that the millions of photos didn't quite get it. There was something about her eyes that went beyond radiance. They locked onto you, utterly mesmeric. She had perfect skin and her whole face lit up when she spoke. And there were moments when I had to fight to hear the words because I'm lost in the beauty. And I'm thinking, how could I have written all those vile things about her? Anyway, she said, I mustn't hold you back any longer. And there's me thinking I would happily be held back for a long time to come. The end.
Woo. For a lot of people who are familiar with seeing a character that seems to bear your name in the movie The Queen, mm-hmm. you seem to take credit for that line, the people's princess.
I know, but you've read the book.
Yeah.
The diary different. Would suggest that TB
yes,
was the author.
Yeah.
There you go.
How could they make a mistake like that?
Because they want that to be the story.
Mm-hmm. The story of the spinmeister who puts words into the prime minister's
and also
mind.
Who, the story of The Queen, the film, mm-hmm. is basically a kind of useless, out-of-touch royal household who don't know what they're doing and a ruthless political machine in Downing Street that's trying to exploit it. I mean, that's caricaturing. I'm exaggerating, making a point, but that's what they're trying to say, whereas I think what comes through in the book is two groups of people thrown together in an extraordinary and sad set of circumstances mm-hmm. which provoked an incredible kind of human response around the country and around the world. And having to deal with that specifically in the planning of a funeral. And actually, I was pleased when you alluded to the reason why I had to submit the book for vetting was for official secrets, But also, I know that the section that Diana's death was sent to the palace as well for their their view. And I think their word came back that actually they were quite pleased that it put right some of the myths of the movie.
You enumerate, I think, in the first chapter of the book, the achievements of the Blair years. That this week, UK troops are pulling out of Northern Ireland after 38 years, an achievement of the Blair years. You have a reformed House of Lords, a booming economy, London in many ways at the center of the world economically, even culturally. School spending doubled, crime down, gay rights. I'm sure you have to understand, certainly, that there are a lot of people in Britain who think that at the moment all of that pales alongside of what they consider the folly and even the crime of Iraq. Mm.
There are some who might think that, but actually I don't think they're in the majority. And I think that one of the reasons that those who do think it, I don't actually think they get much of a rounded picture of what's happening inside Iraq anyway. I mean, when Gordon Brown stood alongside President Bush this week, was able to point out that in three of the four areas for where the UK troops have got responsibility, they have been able to move from a combat role to an overwatch role. Mm-hmm. That is progress. It may not be progress that is moving as fast as people would like, but it is. And I think the other thing I would say about that, the fact that it was not a black and white choice. There were shades of grey in there, but there were consequences to not taking action there as well, which is that Saddam is still there in power, adding to his reputation for butchery and barbarism, continuing to add to his toll as the person who killed more Muslims in the history of the planet.
Recurrent theme in your book is the price that a person pays personally in public life to be in politics. People, and not just in 10 Downing Street or the White House, but people in your position. And I just don't mean the hours, 6 a.m. to midnight, but the passion you put into the hours you work. So by the time you come home, not a lot left in the tank.
You're pretty spent, yeah. Then you've got your diaries to write.
I mean, several times you came to the Prime Minister and said, I have no marriage, I've got to leave this job.
Yeah, I did. And it was true. I think it is difficult. This where the political and the personal clash is difficult. And although it was very, very difficult, and some of the times I describe in the book were absolutely awful, I still feel at the end of it that it was an incredible privilege to be involved in it. There's a point in the book where I say to Tony, look, this is just getting very difficult. And he said, why do people take it all so personally and blah, blah, blah. And somebody said to me that actually you've got to understand that to our other halves, sometimes, you know, they can understand men have been sort of running off with other women kind of since time immemorial, but we ran off with a job. I ran off with Tony Blair, as it were. He ran off with being Prime Minister. And they're very, very full-on difficult jobs. And I think both of us really, really tried all the time.
Let me just ask a couple of your recollections of people. You liked Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah, I took an instant liking to him, yeah. I think one of the reasons why I do feel it was such a privileged position to be in is because these people that everybody thinks they know because they've seen so much of them, you can really make a more informed judgment of them if you've seen them professionally, socially, you've seen them around. And he was just a sort of big, huge character who kind of exuded something. It's very hard to define what it was sometimes, but yeah.
Jacques Chirac.
Complicated. And also I describe King Hussein's funeral where Chirac had worked out that if he could get himself just to the right of Bill Clinton, he was going to be in virtually every TV shot. Now, and yeah, at other times, he was very engaging. He could be very funny. I loved the way that he would, because I speak French and I did French at university, and Jacques Chirac would say La France when he meant I. And, you know, it was like, so you'd have these conversations, you know, La France thinks that we should have lunch now. And
and Bill Clinton.
Well, Bill Clinton, who of all of them I kind of liked the best, and I think the two that I usually pick out are Bill Clinton and Bertie Ahern, the Irish Prime Minister, who's a terrific guy. But I ended up, there's very few that I ended up not kind of warming to, and like in relation to your current president, I get whacked a fair bit by my liberal left-leaning friends by saying that regardless of his politics, I like George Bush. I think he's a very likeable, personable guy. But I think Clinton was the nearest thing I met to a strategic political genius.
Mr. Campbell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Alistair Campbell. The Blair Years, the Alistair Campbell Diaries, just been published in the United States. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.